today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Whenever we put something or someone before our relationship with God, we make them or that thing an idol. If you could say something like, if you don't give me this, God, if this doesn't happen, God, then I am upset at you. You have just put that thing above God. And it's no wonder he might touch your heart and say, well, we're going to take this thing away, or we're going to see how much an idol this thing has become by removing it, or at least going through the steps of removing it, because nothing can come before God.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
We're all tempted to sin, believers and non-believers alike. We'll all endure temptation. But it's what you do with that temptation that matters. Do you dwell on it? Do you ponder it? Do you think about carrying it out? Or do you resist that temptation? Do you cry out to God for help? Do you realize that God's grace can enable you to resist temptation? Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 1, as we join Pastor Troy for the conclusion of our message entitled, Keys to Overcoming Temptation.
Corrie ten Boom said, don't worry about what you do not understand. Worry instead about what you do understand in the Bible, but do not live by. That is the only thing you need to be concerned about. You don't have to know more than that. If there's already something you know is true, and you're wrestling with, that's enough for you. So quit going into all the theology and all of these other things and theories, and just do that. Because once you obey the scriptures, once you obey the word of God, once you deny yourself and you live them out, you gain what is called understanding. And that understanding is never taken from you. Never. So to avoid sin, we need the word of God. Also, to build a healthy church, we need the word of God. It is critical to the health of a church. Teaching the Bible builds those who are searching for truth. Now, you guys all know, I know as well, that truth can cut to the heart. It's conviction, which means it goes against my nature or my desires. But truth is truth. And when we receive it, we rejoice in it. Maybe not immediately, but as we wrestle with it and we submit ourselves to God, we see the goodness in that, the wisdom in that. And we can rejoice. But those who are seeking truth hang around where the word of God is being taught. It builds those who are searching for truth, but it frustrates those who are looking for something else in the church. This is all you do? What about this ministry? What about these things? Don't you have more? What about the singles? Get a lot of that. What about the singles? Where's the singles ministry? And you know you don't want to send that person to the singles ministry when they're... You got a singles ministry? Where are the single girls? Can you just kind of have the single stand up one time? Maybe we want to start something out. We're not going to have the single stand up. How about this? Everyone in this church, all the men who would kill somebody who's trying to be a wolf to one of our singles, if you'd just stand up and show us the wrath of God that would be poured out through you onto any individual who comes in. Like, okay, never mind. See, they've got people who want to protect the church. So knowing the word of God is a key to overcoming temptation. Verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Another key to overcoming temptation is knowing the will of God, or being able to discern the will of God, tied very closely to knowing the Word of God, by the way. This is basically having an understanding of the right that you ought to do and doing it. What is the right that I should be doing? Instead of focusing this way, what can I do that would be the bare minimum requirements? I mean, this would be okay, right? I know it's close, but this would be okay. Don't do that. Know the right that you ought to do. Be above reproach. You're to be a light in this world. Light requires light. It requires brightness. And we need to understand that, you know, God may actually have an opinion on everything that we do. You realize that? That we should seek Him? God actually does have an opinion on everything that we choose to do. So we need to spend our time with Him. There are consequences for acting outside of what God's desire for you is. No matter what that is or who you are, there are consequences. I have seen marriages, and years down the road, they wished that they had done what they really believed God might have been saying, but didn't want to hear. And then they're married, and it's very, very difficult. Of course, through Christ, everything can be righted. Everything can be corrected. But why would you want to go through all of that? It's great pain. Talk to anyone. Talk to probably most marriages who've gone through difficult times because they were in it. Marriage won't be in heaven because it's a relationship based upon two needy individuals. Jesus said in marriage, they're not married nor given in marriage. There's no need. You're not a needy person. Christ is everything to you. But here we're needy. And so you have two needy people coming together. And there's going to be problems. You need to be aware of that. So that's why it's very important that as you need and you feel this sense of need and God is bringing someone into your life, that you keep Him first and foremost. Otherwise, things will not go well with you. It will be very difficult. There are consequences. We see it in the Scriptures. King David decided to move the ark back to where it should be. And so he asks the people, should we take the ark back? Of course the people want the ark back where it's supposed to be. Yeah, let's take it. And so they put it on a cart, already violating the authorized, prescribed manner by which they should move the ark. And then it was only supposed to be Levites that moved the ark, but they just had, hey, whoever, you know, come on, let's go. And so they're moving the ark. It stumbles. And a man named Uzzah, doing actually a noble thing. You want to steady the ark. It's not a bad thing, it seems like. But as he reaches out and the ark touches his hand, he wants to steady it, God kills him on the spot. Now that was the fault of his leader. His leader put him in that position to fail that way, to be killed. But God is holy. And there is no reason, it doesn't matter what your reasoning was, to violate God's intention, God's choice, God's best, is to always place yourself in a place where consequences could come about. In fact, I believe they always do. They may not be bad, like you get into a vehicle drunk and you drive and someone dies. Oh, consequence. But I think there are consequences in our lives we don't even really know or realize are there. You know, one of Satan's strategies is to downplay the idea of consequences. When Satan tempted Eve, he said, you won't die. And perhaps when they didn't die, but the process of death came, they thought, hey, maybe that's right. They were never perfect after that. In fact, their children, one of them would kill the other. And murder happened, and the world became so bad at one point that God judged the entire earth not too long into its existence and started all over again. And that was the flood, Noah. So there are consequences. I talked to a girl one time, several years back, and she said, I just can't believe that God would, well, let me put it this way. God would take us, His children, and put them in an oven and turn up the fire and cook them. It's like, well, He's not going to cook them. He's not going to. That's not what He's doing. It's hell. It's not an oven. And God doesn't put us in there. We send ourselves there because He has given us eternal life. He's thrown out the rope. I think we talked about it last week. He's thrown out the rope. And if we will grab that rope, if we will hold on to Him, then He rescues us from the fire that we're already destined to. But many don't want to choose to grab onto that rope. There are consequences. But even Christians, they worry more about their struggle with sin. Oh, it's so hard. Pray for me. I'm struggling with sin. And they worry so much about their struggle with sin, they totally don't even consider the consequences of sin. But Jesus spoke more of hell than heaven, did you know? Consequences. What if, I don't know if God will say this to you or not, that'd be kind of wild to see, but check this out. What if God said, all right, you think of that thing that you struggle with. You just think of it right now, all right? What if God said, one more time, your ears are falling off. No, not maybe. Your ears are falling off. I'm God. Enough is enough. If you do that again, you're listening to gossip. If you get involved in that kind of conversation again, your ears are going to fall off right then and there. I'm God, so be it. Now, would that change you a little bit? Would you go, next time gossip is around, whoa, I'm not there, man. I'm going over here to do something else. Why? Well, sometimes it's the consequence that drives us away from sin. It works with children too. Tell them something's hot. Tell them something's hot. Hey, don't put that coin in that electric socket. And it's just a big no to them. But once they go, guess what happens? They don't put a penny back in the socket. They may try a dime, maybe see if that's a little different, but they don't put a penny back in there. Let me tell you something, guys, just to not so much encourage you, maybe scare the hell out of you. There could be consequences for your sin. God doesn't owe you a nice, easy, plush life, even if you're his child. Sin corrupts you. Sin keeps you from a relationship with him. God wants intimacy with you. He died to have that intimacy with you. And so your choices, the things that you're choosing to do that are apart from God, that drive a distance between you and God and you and God's people, that are independent of God, those things aren't good. And God could give you over to the consequences of those things. He did it to the world. It says that the men became worse and worse and worse, and he finally gave them over to their vile passions. Knowing the will of God. To know the will of God, you need to know the heart of God. To know the heart of God, you need to know the Word of God. Sadly, many are still choosing sin because they don't experience any significant consequences. I'll be fine. You may think everything you're doing is fine, but you may not realize some of the subtle consequences going on in your life because of the things that you're doing, as little or big as they may be. I heard the testimony of a woman who, she used drugs and she suffered from depression. Now, the drugs were a result of suffering from the depression. She suffered from depression. The way to escape, she got involved in drugs. So she went that lifestyle, which is an addictive, habitual lifestyle, one very difficult. I mean, sin leads you into difficult, miserable places, places of despair and hopelessness. So she got into this place, and as she finally was ministered to on the streets by a group of individuals who gave her hope, she began to go to church, hear the Word of God, take it in. And she said, I want to get involved. I want to serve the Lord. And they allowed her to serve and allowed her to help. And as she immersed herself in the life that honored God, something strange happened. The very first symptom, do you remember what it was? The depression? She realized one day, she said, I'm not doing the drugs. I'm off the drugs. I'm doing all these good things. I don't know where the depression went. She didn't try to beat the depression. It just, she didn't have time for it. She was focusing on the right things. Now, I'm not saying your cure to depression is that you need to serve God all the time, every day, all day. Although, that'd give you less time to do bad things. But I'm telling you that there are things that you're doing, things that you're allowing that are causing consequences you don't realize. And you've got to trust God. And you got to follow the Lord with all of your heart. I say, you got it, you got it, you got it, like it's your work. He helps you. You know how he helps you? He whispers, he tells you, here's the way we need to go today. Oh, don't do that. Follow me. Follow me. So all you really have to do is not try to figure it out, but follow him. Follow him. Satan's desire, though, is to steal, kill, and destroy. So Jesus overcomes the temptation by discerning the will of God, by knowing the Word of God in verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. When Jesus needs angels to come and minister to him, that was a rough bout. That was a rough period of time. This wasn't a, turn those loaves to bread. No, do this. I don't think so. Do that. I'm not, away with you, Satan. Well, that was the tempting. Whew, let's go. No, this was 40 days without food. He's weakened. And then you just build on that. You guys have gone maybe a meal without food, right? If you've gone a day without food, you know how your attitude changes. I have seen the attitude change. Let's go. I'm hungry. It's like before church is, oh, Pastor Troy, oh, that was a wonderful message. Oh, you're doing so good. Thank you for being our pastor. 12:30, we've been fellowshipping a little long. Hey, we need to go. I don't care who you are. We need to get some food. What happened to all the love? The flesh has risen indeed. We need to consider the value of God. If we're going to overcome temptation, we need to consider how valuable God is. Jesus saw the heart of the temptations here, to give his heart to something else or someone else other than God. And that was the last straw. You just don't do that. Whenever we put something or someone before our relationship with God, we make them or that thing an idol. If you could say something like, if you don't give me this, God, if this doesn't happen, God, then I am upset at you. You have just put that thing above God. And it's no wonder he might touch your heart and say, well, we're going to take this thing away, or we're going to see how much an idol this thing has become by removing it, or at least going through the steps of removing it, because nothing can come before God. You know, there are some today, they're at their churches worshiping their idols. This morning, there might be someone before it gets hot, they're out there with their idol on four wheels. Yeah, the car. And they've got their worship band too. It's that radio station that they love. And they crank up the worship band and they're out there, yeah, washing their vehicle. And church is good. Easy like a Sunday morning. And they're enjoying life. And they think there are no consequences for putting that idol first. There's some who watch their idols, a little square box. You can't miss that program. Everything must revolve around that program. Thank God for Devo, because now God has blessed me with Devo so I can watch all of my programs. If you watched everything you could record on your Devo, apparently some are filling those things up with recordings, you wouldn't have enough life left to live to watch all of that. But we record it because we got to watch it. Those are our idols. Some are at games, screaming, painting themselves for the sake of their team. That might get your team over the hump. Who knows? Just looking at you with no shirt and their colors on your belly just might inspire them enough to win the game. So you're there. And yet, that same person who will do that at the football game, the basketball game, here, worship God. We're worshiping God. Lord, I lift your name on high. Yeah, I do. At the game, go, kill him, come on, tackle him, yeah. Worship. Just hold it here. Look, this isn't a funeral. This is church. Just one, let's all, this is church, come on. There we go, all right. Now, we're not, wait. Thank you. No. We're not going that direction with the church. I don't, after every point, yeah, Pastor, preach it. However, we should have a little more enthusiasm for the Word of God and in our worship. We should rejoice and enjoy the things that God has done. The Scriptures teach us to honor God first. That was the idea of the first fruits. The things that you decide to do you consider whether they honor God? Whether they will honor God? It includes your time, your talent, and your treasure, all of those things. You guys know what it means to prioritize, right? I hope so. If not, we have a good book for you called Tyranny of the Urgent. You might want to read that one. But We should know what it means to prioritize. And that means that you do the important things first, not the important things to you, the important things. Like if there's laundry, you know, how can you cut back some of your expenses? You stop buying underwear every 2 weeks and you do your laundry. So you cut back expenses. You do the things that you need to do. You cook the meals. You can also cut back by cooking a meal every now and then too, rather than going out to eat. So we need to prioritize. If you never spend time with your wife or your family, you know what it shows them? How valuable they are to you. You can say, I love you. I love you. Here's a gift that says I love you. But if you're never there, if you're never around, it's not the gift that they want. It's you. And by the way you distribute your time, you show what you value, what you're pursuing, what you love. The same is true with the things of God. How valuable is God to you? Is He worthy of the first and the best that you have to offer? Do you make sure that the time that should be committed to Him is given to Him and that other things fit in around that? Do you honor Him with the first portion of all that He blesses you with? Did you know who you pay first, you honor most? Think about it. Who do we normally pay first? I think for many of us, the most important payment we have is the house payment. I want a house. I got to keep my house. House first. But in God's economy, did you know, because God is the provider of everything that we need, that our first obligation in all of our increase is first to God? Okay, then I will dedicate my house to the Lord. So now I'm going to pay the house first because it's God's house. God doesn't want me to. No. It's about giving things up. It's about trusting God to take care of you. Jesus overcame temptation by prioritizing His worship and His service to God and God alone. You know, even His eating and sleeping came only after the Father's priorities were fulfilled. There were times where Jesus didn't even get to go to sleep. Don't say, I'm too tired. Say, God, give me the strength. If this is what You've given me, I'm not going to complain about it, but I need strength. Give me the strength. Because He also promises to give us the rest. Jesus didn't just worship by lifting His hands and singing. His life was an act of worship. It's the way He lived. And Jesus said, the Father's looking for those who worship in spirit and in truth. A.W. Tozer said, this describes most evangelicals today. Carnal, immature, looking like the world, without miracles, without wonders, lacking a wonderful sense of the presence of the Lord, held together by social activities and nothing more. That is sad. Why is that? Well, I will tell you why that is. One, we don't know and prioritize the Word of God. We don't put it first. As a result, our relationship with God is affected. Our definition of God and what He would allow and is affected. We don't discern the will of God. We can't. We don't know the Word of God. And so we're left with emotions and feelings. And the Scripture says that our heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? We don't actually realize that God has an opinion on what we do with our time, talent, or treasure, our lives. And three, we don't consider the worth or the value of God. That no matter what you ever sacrifice in order to honor Him, you will gain so much more. There's nothing you can give up, nothing you can change about yourselves in order to make yourselves in that place of following Him. There's nothing you could sacrifice or give up that you will not get so much more out of by following Him.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know You more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.